here we go. Welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. Give us 600 seconds and we'll give you the tools you need to improve your handicapping. Ladies and gentlemen, it is great to have you in. My name is Joe Fortenball, and it is officially time to go to work. Ken Thompson, one of the brightest minds in Las Vegas when it comes specifically to college football, is going to come by and join us in a couple minutes with a breakdown of the weekend's biggest games, as well as two of his favorite under-the-radar plays. He texted me earlier. He said, I got two special for the podcast. I said, I can't wait to have you on. They're going to love to hear it. But we begin with the big one. Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Alabama, Florida State. The Tide have a habit, and this is a beautiful thing, of opening up with marquee out-of-conference matchups every single season. Current number, Alabama minus 7 with an over-under of 49. Now, it opened Bama 7.5 and moved to 7. The total opened at 53 and moved to 49, which indicates the early money likes the under. The early money likes Florida State. Here's why they're wrong. Nick Saban, since he joined the Alabama Crimson Tide, is 10-0 in his opening week games. First game of the season, Nick Saban is 10-0 as the head coach at Alabama. 8-1 against the spread. 8-1 against the spread. The only game that didn't have a spread was the first one he ever coached at Alabama, Western Carolina. They won that game 52-6. No spread on that game. Perhaps more importantly, the Tide 6-1-2 to the over. Six victories, one loss, and two pushes to the over in opening week games. Now, we have to distinguish between two sets of opening week games for Alabama. Saban's first 5 years on the job, they didn't necessarily go against marquee competition. West Carolina, Clemson, Virginia Tech, when both teams were San Jose State, Kent State. But the last 5 years, let's break it down like this. They've played Michigan, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and last year, USC. In those five games, the Tide are 5-0, 4-1 against the spread, and they're winning by an average of 25.2 points per game. Averaging 39 points per game, holding the opposition to just 14 points per game. Ladies and gentlemen, the only game they didn't cover was in 2014 when they beat West Virginia by 10 as 22-point favorites. So what's the moral of the story? Number one, Saban's team is always prepared for week number one. Number two, they hammer the opposition. And number three, the games tend to go over the total. I love Alabama as one half of a 6-point teaser this weekend, and I love them almost as much minus 7 to win this game going away. Those are our picks to open the show. Bama minus 7 against Florida State, and Bama teased down to minus 1 as one half of a 6-point teaser play.
Gonna be up 500 by midnight.
In just a few seconds, we're going to bring on Ken Thompson. But before we do that, a reminder, use the promo code SHARP600 at CoversExperts.com. That's the promo code SHARP600 at CoversExperts.com for a free $30 credit towards your next Covers Expert purchase. After that, bounce over to Covers.com. Take a shot at winning $100,000 in the Streak Survivor Contest. One of the best college football minds in the business. He's been in sports broadcasting over 20 years. You can catch him on Twitter at KenThompson87 and on sports radio via 720 KDWN in Las Vegas. Ken Thompson joining us here on the Sharp 600. Ken, college football has finally arrived and Saturday offers up a monster card. Let's begin 3:30 p.m. Eastern. It's Michigan minus 4 with a total of 44.5 against the Florida Gators. What do you like about this one?
Well, you know, what I do like is I still like Florida, even though they have a lot of suspensions. Really, the only guy that comes into play is Antonio Callaway. He's the only guy that's going to really make a difference. He was a leading receiver last year, Joe, but, you know, only got in the end zone four times. So they've got enough depth. They're going to go with the three-quarterback system is, you know, what McElwain's saying. So we'll find out who is the guy, whether it's Del Rio, whether it's Malik Zaire, the transfer from Notre Dame, or whether it's Philippe Franks. I think all three will see time on the field. And, again, it's a good, solid Florida team. Michigan, again, still a lot of question marks. Spade will get the start, but they've got a lot of work to do on both sides of the ball because they lost a ton of talent, including guys like Jake Butt on the offense.
8 p.m. Eastern, it's Alabama minus 7 with a total of 49 against the Florida State Seminoles. This is the crown jewel of opening weekend. Nick Saban, 10-0 straight up, 8-1 against the spread in week one during his tenure at Alabama. Do you see the Tide covering the number once again in their opening game?
you know what? I'm going to stay away from this game, at least at the start, Joe. And that's a great thing with having in-running wagering where you can play the game as it's going here, because I want to take Florida State. And if you got seven and a hook before it went down to seven, you're probably okay to start that way. They've got a lot of talent back. They've got to protect Francois. Of course, they lose Dalvin Cook, but this kid Akers could be really good. Receiving corps pretty solid. And the defense is good. You're going to be see some of the best secondary play in the country with both these teams, guys like Derwin James and then Ronnie Harrison and Micah Fitzpatrick for Alabama. So secondary wise, both teams very deep, should be a lot of fun. And this is a darn good team for Florida State. So, you know, Bama, as good as they are each and every year, don't overlook Florida State. They are good enough to beat the Tide.
Even if the Florida State Seminoles were to lose this game, do you see them having a strong enough season the rest of the way out to get into the college football playoff?
No doubt about it, especially with the win November 11th at Clemson and closing up against another SEC team, of course, their rival in state Florida. They get those two games. Yes, they'll be right back in the thick of things because they'll have to take out Lamar Jackson. They get them at home. Louisville, defending Heisman Trophy winner, of course, and Miami also comes a calling to Tallahassee.
Sunday, 7:30 p.m., it's Virginia Tech -4 with a total of 51 against the West Virginia Mountaineers. Break it down for us, Ken.
Well, former Florida quarterback there for West Virginia, Will Grier, gets the start. They bring back a solid running back in Justin Crawford, over 1,100 yards. Only four touchdowns on the ground. They lose some depth at wide receiver, but White and Jennings are pretty good. For Virginia Tech, I love Justin Fuente. I think the guy's the real deal. The right place, right guy to replace Beamer. Joshua Jackson will get the start. They bring back a pretty good nucleus on the defense. Eight of those guys back, including the entire secondary. So that bodes well for Virginia Tech. If I was going to play this game, I would definitely take the Hokies.
At the exact same time on Sunday, it's going to be Josh Rosen and the UCLA Bruins -3, total of 56.5 against Kevin Sumlin and the Texas A&M Aggies. Two coaches between Mora and Sumlin, who some feel heading into the season may find themselves on the hot seat. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I think Sumlin more on the hot seat in my book because, you know, last year Josh Rosen goes down game six. So I thought, you know, maybe a mulligan there for Mora. I thought he's done a pretty good job. He's 41-24 overall in his tenure there for the Bruins. I think UCLA is going to win this game. I'll lay the points. I did lay 3. It's up to 3.5. Went up to 4, but back down to 3.5. They've got to run the football. Last year, collectively, just barely over 1,000 yards team-wise. They need to do better than that. Talk to their line coach. And Angus McClure, and he was telling me, look, things look better as far as the running game for this season. So I'm looking at UCLA. Someone on the other hand, he breaks in a new quarterback in Starkle. Starkle's got to get the ball out to Christian Kirk, one of the best receivers in the country, but they lost a lot of depth. Yes, Sumlin definitely on the hot seat. Got six back on both sides of the ball. But again, are they good enough to do any damage in the SEC? I think they're going to have a tough run of it in the SEC West.
And then the finale, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's Tennessee -3 with a total of 56 against Georgia Tech. Butch Jones finds himself on the hot seat as well. What should we look for here, Ken?
I don't think so. I think Georgia Tech, again, I understand you have time to prepare for the option, but simulating against the Paul Johnson option as opposed to playing it, you know, are two different things. Now, problem there for Georgia Tech, they lose their leading rusher, Dedrick Mills, who was booted off the team early, but Matthew Jordan, the QB, should be able to work things. I think they'll be able to take care of business. Don't know how good Dormady is, the quarterback for Tennessee, so question marks there. Again, there's a lot of these games, Joe, that I will get involved in running wagering here in Vegas, and they offer that, and they offer that throughout the, you know, the other books around the world and whatnot. But over here in Vegas, they've got that just about everywhere. So there's a lot of these games that there's question marks, and in between the trenches, as we look at those guys on the line of scrimmage, that's where I want to see, you know, guys deliver that are supposed to. Just because guys have or teams have returning starters doesn't always bode well. And I think a lot of times we put too much into that. So sometimes you got to really just take things in, focus in. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's so much stuff. I just love it, Joe. This is my time of year. You know it.
Those five aforementioned games are the entrees for opening weekend, but there are several other games to choose from. Anything else a little bit more under the radar that's caught your eye?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. First off, I like Troy, not only to hang with Boise State, but to beat Boise State outright. Look, nobody wins on the Smurf turf, but Harsin is not the same as Chris Peterson. The recruiting has gone down a tad. Troy brings in Silvers, very solid quarterback, and Jordan Chun, a guy that's gone over 1,000 yards the last couple of years. This team from Alabama, the Troy Trojans, good enough to win the Sun Belt, good enough to win at Boise. You could still get double digits there, started at 12.5, down to 11, so I definitely like Troy. And then Colorado State showed me a lot against Oregon State. Down early, but really pulled together, and Stevens took a shot big time. I thought he was going to be out of the game. Not only was he not out, he came back through a few more touchdown passes. Colorado State will definitely test Colorado, and it is a major advantage for Bobo's team to have that game under their belt. Love McIntyre, what he does there in Boulder, but this game's going to be a barn burner. This is one you definitely want to take a look at taking the points. It's down to 5, 5.5, but it's still enough there. Colorado State could definitely win this game outright.
Love this guy. Follow him on Twitter at KenThompson87. You can catch him on the airwaves, SportsX Radio via 720 KDWN in Las Vegas. It's Ken Thompson joining us here on the Sharp 600. You knocked it out of the park, Ken. Thank you for your time. Loved it.
Joe, appreciate you, Joe. You're the best, man. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Summer may be coming to a close, but football season is finally here. That's it for us, everybody. Best of luck this weekend, and we will be back next week with a brand new episode right here on the Sharp 600.